Hello and welcome everyone to the ICN podcast. It's Luke and David here, and we have a very exciting soapbox that we are setting up for Luke to share with us today. So we hope you enjoy this conversation. Luke, let's dive in. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, a little bit of a soapbox. I don't know. Yeah, it's just something struck me the other day. I think I was like on my phone and I was scrolling through my podcast feed and I was just looking at it like, oh, I want to listen to like a really good conversation, you know, just like one of those really rich, meaningful spiritual conversations that gets to the heart of things. And, you know, I was flipping through there and I just kind of had this sudden realization where it's like, you know, maybe I actually want to engage in one of those conversations. I want to like have a rich, in-depth spiritual conversation. And even more than that, I wanted to, I think that I was like feeling this longing for a sense of experience into, a deep, meaningful engagement with my mystical self. And I was looking for that in a podcast, right? I was looking for that out there in content, right? In something that was going to be offered to me. And it just kind of flooded into me this sense again of like, you know, I think what we're really longing for is community. And that's why we're doing this series on practicing community, because community is really an answer to the predominance today that we have of content, of broadcasting information from a platform, right? This sense of a one-way engagement that is essentially really static, right? You're receiving something that's been produced, that's been created, that's been crafted, and that it's offered to you by thoughtful people, by, you know, wonderful things. I'm not saying that that's bad, but it is static. And there's this sense of like creating content and trying to get more eyeballs and exposure. And it's sort of this detached means of engagement. And this podcast itself is a platform, right? We are talking to each other. We're also talking to you, the listener, but you cannot respond back. This is a form of content in a sense, but we're hopefully bringing the spirit into this that we want it to be a communal participation, that we want there to be some form of practice engaged with that. And that especially the reason we do this is to invite participation into community. Our hope is that this podcast can help people feel and understand these concepts that we're talking about, these experiences, these ideas, and feel the invitation to come into them, that they will lead us into community. And that is the experiential participation of what we're trying to engage with here. Because without that, we're just kind of piling on more mental accumulation of ideas and even wisdom, right? If we just keep intaking, right? If I got through all my podcast feed, if I, you know, got through all my episodes and things, I'd have all this, you know, further amount of information, wisdom, and knowledge. And yet, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. So at ICN, we are passionate and highly value the call to community, to mystical community, to actual relational engagement with one another. You know, it's interesting also recently, we had a post on our social media, something about practicing community, and someone made a comment about being an introvert and kind of experiences of social anxiety. And, you know, when we talk about community, there are lots of types of communities, lots of ways to engage with it. I am an introvert.
Me too.
Maybe that's why I found the need for community, because I often withdrew from it so much. But when we're talking about community, I'm not talking about like the after church social time of like a bunch of people in a big room. I'm not necessarily talking about going to mixers or, you know, there's all sorts of different social dynamics, and we'll get into that more later. But how can we have living exploration of participation in community that is more than dialogue in the exchange of ideas? While that's important, right? How do we invite the participation in an embodied sense and a sharing of lives? We have a few ways that we do that in ICN with our We Space groups, with our weekly co-explorations that look at these ideas like we're doing on our podcast and make space for there to be communal conversation and engagement in that. But also, you know, all of these things that we're doing speak to how we need to actually build our capacity for community. We need to build our capacity for connection, which we've lost to some extent. I think we crave it and we desperately need it, but more and more we're feeling less able to do that, less able to authentically connect with others in a variety of social settings, spiritually and otherwise. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that, some of which we could get into or talk about. I mean, our approach to education is is very much right individual accumulation, knowledge, learning. You know, even more and more, I think with AI and this sense of like content being produced and information being disseminated, that's maybe even less than a one-way broadcast. It's sort of gathered from the ether and assimilated and then presented by this you know non-soul entity. So yeah, I've just been feeling really, really again passionate. I mean, I obviously I just wrote this 20-part series on practicing community. So it is certainly already something I was in tuned with. But yeah, just had this experience the other day of like, yeah, how do we move from this means of platform into inviting participation in various ways of experiencing community? So as we do this whole series about community, as this whole season of our podcast is looking at community and we are talking about it and you're listening to it in this broadcast format, I just really want to stress that this is an invitation into the practice of community, whether that be through ICN or elsewhere, because we really need to come into that to become who we really are and also to move into our divine participation in the ways that I think we all really long for on a soul level.
There's a lot to be processed there. And I think maybe one of the primary things that's coming out for me as I'm processing the things that you're sharing is that community means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But what I hear you sharing is that when a community is able to practice a more full, whole body mystical awakening, to use our language, that the whole body mystical awakening is a collective experience that is experienced individually, but also collectively and could be shared collectively. And that's something that we, by and large, do not have in our culture. And you touched into individualism as, you know, a lot of learning approaches have been more dispensary, that we are information receivers and that we are to parrot back that information in some way that says that we've learned it. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've metabolized that information, but at least we know about it. Of course, when we're talking about spiritual matters, it's one thing to know about something. It's another thing to truly to know and to be known, which I want to just provide a quick caveat and continue to draw out the things that you're sharing, Luke, is that what we're not saying is simply like we're not talking about the exteriors of a shared community. That's one thing that AI will never be able to understand as far as we know it. In its current iteration, is that it's not an interiority. It can write we can write about interiority. It can disseminate from writings about interiority, but it's not speaking or disseminating from the space of interiority. So there's two things that I'm trying to say at the same time. A lot of communities tend to be exterior-based interest. I mean, you can be part of, you know, television shows that you like, or there's Reddit groups, there's, you know, affiliation groups that you can enjoy being part of. I'm a part of them too. I enjoy it. There's interior groups like 12-step, AA, maybe some psychology-based things. What it is that I feel that you are trying to tease out for me and for our listeners and for ICN in general is that we're not talking about one or the other. It's not just an exterior-based, and it's not merely a psychological exercise. It's a whole-body participation in a non-localized sense. So we're really talking about some mysterious, juicy stuff here. And I'm curious, like, if we just tap into that for a second, what's coming up for you? Mm-hmm. What's something that you would want to put forth?
For sure. That's so good and so true. And it is like, like Jesus spoke about the wine and the wineskins, you know, there are the structures, the exteriors, right? The ways that we, what we're doing this. And we'll talk about that later. Cause that matters. I think that's part, like, I don't know, 13 through 16 in the articles. Mm-hmm. The form and the substance, right? The form and the substance, how we're being together and what we're doing together, what we're being together. That's very much a part of this sense of like moving from content to community. Even community that's around content is kind of like what you're talking about, right? We get together and we talk about this thing, or there's this third thing that we relate to. And that's well and good as well. But it's also still kind of one step removed, I think, from authentic deep presence, from the true true substance of mystical community, which is what we're going to start by exploring here in these conversations. And again, like, we can dialogue about it. We can talk about it. And that is different from the practice of mystical community. Yes. And by practice, I mean not like we're practicing for the event, because we're always living the event, right? By practice, I mean that we are not just talking about it, but seeking to experientially participate and engage in that reality with one another. So that's different, right? Because I think a lot of times we're used to coming together and talking about something and thinking that we're doing that thing because we're talking about it. Right. And that's fine. That's one type of community. That's something we do in ICN as well. But if we just do that, then we're never actually like playing the game. We're never actually doing the thing that we're seeking to do. So in practicing mystical community, we need to really lean into the substance of that and explore what it means to do that, to be that, to engage with that.
I think you're giving a very practical based definition of what mysticism actually is, because I think sometimes when it gets explained in a reductive way, which is understanding, because everything has to be a sound bite now. That mysticism is the experience of spirituality. It's like, some people will say religion is believing in someone else's experience, but spirituality is entering into your own. Again, the English language is difficult, because in the English language, your own implies you. It's very solo-based, even if it's understood on a very subtle level. What we're talking about here is not just experience, but the practice of ongoing experiences of connecting to each other in a more full-bodied. By body, I don't just mean what's quote-unquote called the gross body or the physical body, but the whole body, the whole system, the whole ecosystem that each of us is, that's part of the greater whole ecosystem that is all of us and is part of the great oneness that has a multiplicity of distinctions. So I'm wondering if you could give a healthy example of what you're talking about. What is a collective experience of mystical practice of community?
There's a lot of different ways to experience that, but I think a lot of times it comes in the context of talking about something, and then the words fall away and we're just like in the experience of what it is that someone is sharing. So I can draw on examples from WeSpace or things like that. I'm trying to think of a be present to a more everyday reality of that, where we enter into a moment of community with people, even though maybe we're not getting together in order to practice that explicitly. Right. So yeah, it could be one of those moments where someone is talking about something in their life, and maybe it's a moment of vulnerable authenticity. Maybe it's a moment of someone sharing something more than they thought that they probably would. Right. And there's just kind of this feel that comes over the field, right? The relational space between us. This can be in a one-on-one conversation, but I'm thinking more of like a group setting. Right. And then it's like, there's almost like this hush that comes. It's like a moment of quiet. And if we're sensitive to that, we might lean into it. We might stay with that. In a lot of our social settings, I think what happens is that moment comes and we feel a little uncomfortable, or someone says something to take us out of it, right? Back into the general conversation, back into, right? And those little inflection points for me, that's an example. I don't know if that's concrete enough, but that's a moment of like practicing community would be leaning into that, making space for that authentic presence of that person to be with and in the experience of whatever it is they were reflecting on. Maybe it's something hard that they went through that they were just kind of talking about. And then suddenly the experience is here in the moment with them, right? It's not what happened last week. It's how they're feeling it right now. And if we stay with that, we're practicing community because we're opening up to the authentic relating and to being with what is and feeling that in an embodied sense through our heart. And the more we can practice into that, our intuition of what might be being called forth in that moment, those are some practical ways that our whole body, mystical being can enter into these spaces of community. But then we practice that through getting together in more formal communal spaces of spiritual practicing with community, like a We Space group, where we have an intentional time of connecting with one another, of sharing what's going on in our lives, and seeking to be present with one another in that way. And then we practice as well through spiritual practice. This is another element of practicing community where a lot of our spiritual practice is rooted in individualism, right? We have our spiritual practice. We go meditate alone. Even if we're meditating in a group, often everyone's in silence and we're not sharing in any kind of We Space or relational engagement in the spiritual practice time. And so, again, that's another example of how this community is not natural to us. We need to actually practice it. We need to have spaces where we go into it and do it with others. And we can go pretty far alone, but we can't go all the way. So I think there is this longing for more. There's a longing out there for people to have those spaces of authentic engagement, be actively welcomed and nurtured and cultivated. So we don't skip over those moments, but we actually call them forth with vulnerability, with authenticity. And our spiritual communities, I'm not sure, are doing that for the most part. Our forms of the way a lot of traditional church looks are more broadcast based as well, right? Even in small groups, right? Again, it's that talking about the content, it's studying about the third thing, right? Even if we're practicing together, are we really engaging with the substance of one another's lives and the felt experience of those spiritual elements as we experience them in our lives and as they relate to our struggles, our pains, our loves, our joys? You know, there's some of that happens, but more often it's a byproduct rather than the focus of what spiritual communities are doing together. So a lot of that even goes into, what is church? Why do we do what we do together? That's back to structure. But in the substance of community, it means unity together, community, unity together. And so we long for that. How do we practice it? How do we lean into it? Going beyond all these barriers that we've already brought up about individualism and maybe social anxieties or education or ways, normal, quote unquote, normal ways that we're used to being with one another, and begin to have those experiences that we long for.
I just want to maybe nuance a few things that you're sharing that is so powerful. I mean, we could spend hours talking about this, so I'm glad you're writing a lot of articles about it. The individualism to me is important if it's understood that the more I have my self-knowledge is understood as distinctive, or it has a sense of distinctiveness, but the distinctiveness doesn't stop there. The distinctiveness is in order to have greater unity with others. So I think sometimes when we talk about a massive subject like this, what is the overarching vision that we are orienting our lives towards? I remember being part of a spiritual direction training program, and one of the first conversations that we had was about what is the good life, or what does the abundant life look like? And I was with, I am not a wealthy person, and I was with some very wealthy, well-to-do people that were in this group. And after a lot of discussion, this group began to realize I am already living that abundant life, at least according to our culture's understanding of it. I have autonomy. I have determination. I have a set of values. I am wealthy. And what began to emerge was a realization that we're not really there until we're all there. And so I'm kind of saying a few different things at once, or at least attempting to, is that our individualism is important only if it's leading us to greater unity, as you just shared, community, if it's leading to greater unity with others. The more I understand myself and experience myself and my distinctiveness, the more I can see how others in their diversity, in their distinctiveness, add a greater richness to the life that we share, not just to my life, but to the whole. Mm-hmm. And so the overarching vision is life abundantly. You know, like it's in the Christian scriptures, we don't have, I mean, we could translate it this way, but it doesn't get translated this way. When we read you, say in the Christian scriptures, we read it personally, mm-hmm. but it's meant you all, mm-hmm. right? What is life abundantly meant for you all, for us all? And so when we're doing these practices, and this is where I want to add more flavor to the things that you're beautifully sharing, not because they lack flavor, but because I'm just bringing my own sense of funness to this conversation. But there's a sense of the vulnerability is not just a heart space thing. The vulnerability is not just a psychology based thing. It's a vulnerability that is experienced in the whole ecosystem of self. And the whole, by self, I mean not just my small self, my individual self, but the field that we're all sharing together, whether mm-hmm. that's localized or non-localized. So for instance, and I'm going to kind of circle back just a little bit. Sorry that I'm taking a moment here, but by default, I am an introvert. I am wired as an introvert, which is a better way of stating it. And I was just at a conference where I had to do some things. It was about 700-800 people. So I had to be very social. But I recognized that the more embodied I was, the more that I practiced not just awareness of myself, but awareness of the environment, awareness of the person in front of me, awareness of the people in front of me, being attuned not just to their needs or just to my needs or just to boundaries and space, which were important. But the more I was like bringing a lot of distinctiveness and a lot of awareness to those distinctions and awareness to the unity that was happening in that moment, whether they were aware of it or not is not the point. The more I could just enjoy and savor that moment that I was in. So I could practice whole body mystical awakening, and it didn't matter if the person or the people were or were not. What mattered was that there was a sense of connection and love as is. And I guess I'm saying too many things at once, but introversion, extroversion ought not to be defined by those two groups in terms of social settings. Yeah. Secondly, whole body mystical awakening is not a mental exercise or just a heart exercise. It's a whole body mystical awakening. And that is not just a privatized experience. It's a whole experience. And the more distinctiveness that we bring to self, to others, to environment, the more capable we are of experiencing that mystical union, community, oneness, communion. I'm wondering what's coming up for you.
Yeah, really well summarized too. I mean, that's really crucial to point out again, that like unity together, community that does not negate uniqueness or distinctiveness, right? That's not an amalgamation, right? It's a symphony of how we're playing in the field together and what we're hearing and also what we're putting out, right? And so there is this act of perceiving beyond what is just in our little bubble, right? The kind of individualism that can sometimes trap us in that space, and also relate to everything as that kind of what's coming at me from the outside, right? There's sort of this, maybe that's an introverted orientation. But again, even right, transcending those elements of right, the extrovert maybe, or right? People who are more geared that way might be looking outward for the thing to come in, right? So we're opening up to a more holistic vulnerability of that field is somewhat of what you're describing there. It's less related to the particularities of our own social experience and how we come into that in group settings, right? So social interaction does not equal community. That's a different experience, right? And we can engage with community in a small scale, in a larger scale group, in a medium-sized group, a very intimate setting, and also with the whole of the cosmos. So yeah, there's a lot of dynamics to how we move in that, but we're also starting to wade into and tease out some of the two fundamental orientations, maybe not the two, but at least these are the two that I highlighted as around mystical community. So we can talk about community in general, but here we're specifically looking at practicing mystical community. And the first orientation of that is divine reality, that we are participating in a divine reality because our divine nature is collective. So there are a lot of communities that gather around our pain, around our wounding, around we're sort of centering the human experience, which is great. That we need those communities, right? We need that. And that's an element of mystical community, but it is not the whole of mystical community. We are seeking in some way to center the higher self, or the more holistic self is probably a better way to say it. I don't like that higher language even, but we're not centering the limited self. We're trying to go a bit beyond our personal preferences and our cultural conditionings and commonalities, even our personality types, right? Yes. Are we moving into the space of deep meeting deep, right? Because that's what we're really longing for. I mean, we are longing for community as well in other ways of belonging, that where we can connect to people with similarities, where we can share, help one another, you know, find other, for me, like finding other people, parents out there with young kids and like sharing that, those are authentic expressions of community as well, of course. But when we're looking to practice mystical community, right, the question is, how do we engage in the collective space with who we really are? How do we become a divine collective? How do we enact the body of Christ, so to speak? And again, because the divine nature is collective, because when we really come into and presence and start to embody our divine participation, our divine reality, if we haven't already, we'll quickly discover that this is well beyond me and my own, you know, cultural preferences and conditionings. They can belong, right? That's part of my uniqueness, part of the distinctiveness of who we are. And I can also delight and enjoy engaging in that way with one another and learning those little particularities, but we don't want those to confine us and bound us to this sense of that's who we are. So our personal stories, our experience of who we are, opens up and gets enfolded in the larger divine reality when we can practice the deep meeting deep, when we can move into this space of mystical community. So that's a fundamental orientation, because there is a distinction between kind of just common forms of community and connection with other people. We want to presence our human reality and divine reality integrated, and material reality, right? All integrated together in the field in this way of practicing community.
Oh man, that's just such a heartful way of sharing this. And you touched into something that I thought was, the way that you set this up was really interesting, because there are a trillion communities out there. In the very beginning of this conversation, you kind of touched into how there's this just overwhelming sense of opportunity, information, sort of, you can assimilate any myriad of information. And I'm bringing this up because I think this may be kind of a beautiful way to round this particular part of the conversation up, in that when we're talking about practicing mystical community, there's a giving and receiving that takes place that's not just at the interpersonal level or intrapersonal level. We're learning how to negotiate also our sense of idealism and our sense maybe of certain entitlements or our sense of preferences. You know, you and I have talked a little bit about the introversion, extroversion. I would say the third type would be the dutiful type that's in there. But, you know, that there's this sense of, you had just mentioned the sense that we can also bond over our wounds. Again, 12 step, you know, you have groups that, you know, are going through divorce, or you have parent affinity groups, you know, that, you know, the young parents and those kinds of, all those are necessary and good. But even if you are choosing to create a community, it's like, say, ICN is, where we are mystical practitioners in the path of Jesus, there's always a sense of, is this enough? Or is this, like, how do I bring a full sense of self and put that within perspective, not grandiosity and not minimization? I don't know. This is intuitive part of our conversation, so I may edit all this out. Who knows? But I'm wondering, when you have the courage, the connection to create a community of mystical practitioners, there's a negotiation at every level, not just mental, not just emotional. There's every facet of the being that has to be situated. Maybe that's the word that I'm trying to look for, is ways in which we are situating ourselves within the broader community. There are, and I'm not doing necessarily the best job of connecting it to my, to the setup that you gave and the setup that I just gave.
I got the connection.
Yeah. But it's like, when you have a plethora of different ways of connecting, what makes mystical whole body, mystical awakening community worthwhile? And especially if we are projecting a sense that it should answer all our needs, or it's greater than what it should actually be, or it's maybe disappointing because it's not perfect in certain areas. Or do you understand what I mean?
Like, yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah.
So first there's that idealism, right? If we talk about, oh, we're participating in divine reality, then there's this sense of like, oh, okay, well, that means that everything will be amazing and shining and shimmering and
no problems. Yeah.
And that is not true at all. Right.
No.
So it's by far not true. So, cause what you're saying, the complexity of it, right? We're actually seeking to presence more dynamics of who we are, and with a deeper experience of the things that matter most to us, right? If like some other parent says, you know, they do this discipline method and I don't, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, it's great. You know, there's a little less, I guess, attachment and connection to that than when we presence to these deep spiritual realities. So that idealism can definitely get in, and does, in any form of community, right? Whenever we're longing for something, we are seeking an expression more than that, which what we already experience, right? So that just sets up the natural, you know, distance between what we actually then experience when we come into something of what we're looking for versus the idea that we had about it in our mind. So there's that idealism, but I think that actually really ties in very well to the how we're situated in that, because I think as part of this information age and opportunities, like we were talking about earlier, there's no shortage of them. We so easily and unconsciously fall into this sort of self-orientation, this like searching, we base it off our preferences, right? What we like, what we want, what community do I want to be a part of, right? And there's a shallow way of doing that. And there's also a deeper way, right? Where we're looking to respond to what we resonate with, right? What that longing is leading us toward. But if that is, if we stay in that orientation of like, okay, this is meeting the longing that I came after, right? If we stay in that place of self-orientation where community is this external object of which I am participating in, and it relates to me, and I'm constantly evaluating or looking at what this community is as an external sense, then we're not getting to the practice of community. And that's our second fundamental orientation, which is healthy mutuality. We have to go beyond a self-serving relationality, which sounds a little bit harsh, but that's kind of what we've been conditioned to look for, right? What's going to meet my needs? How am I going to get filled up, right? What are the things that I'm looking for? And when we're searching for something, that's natural. That's a place where we have to start, right? Because are we going to choose something that we don't want? Well, why would we do that? I don't know. Maybe if spirit is leading us or something, right? We feel a deeper inclination or drawing to whatever, right? But we're moving from that place of belonging into, this healthy mutuality, where there is reciprocity, where there is interflow, right? When we're talking about presencing to that field in a more holistic sense, right? We're not just looking at everything and how it relates to me and how I relate back to that, right? We're going beyond that individual perspective even and feeling the field, maybe even from other perspectives or from the collective sense. So, right, again, the uniqueness is there, individuals' gifts and creativities, but it's not in this space of jockeying for competition of like this person coming in for, oh, they're getting more than me, or, all those kind of things that we unconsciously do when we are in that space of self-orientation. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of us as well, if we've grown up with a church experience, this is probably true of other community experiences as well, but since we're talking about spiritual community, a lot of times our past church experiences maybe even reinforce this kind of unhealthy codependency, right? Where we are vying for church members, right? Come to our service, right? You're going to like this. Is that worship? That church has good worship music. That one just, it becomes a commodity as well. And so, and something we become codependent on, right? We go there to get our needs met, and, maybe we get called into helping others out of a sense of guilt, or who knows, right? There's healthy and unhealthy dynamics to how we do that. But again, the fundamental orientation is to really practice mystical community, or probably any community on a deep level, we have to enter into healthy mutuality with the self and the collective.
I think that's one of the reasons why in the Jewish scriptures, chesed love, faithful, like deep, loyal love, is so central to the whole thing. Because when you choose a certain kind of, not a blind faithfulness, not a uncritical faithfulness, like any healthy marriage, if you've chosen to enter into some kind of covenantal relationship with a lover, you're going to be exposed to each other's shadow. And you choose to, if you choose to, you choose to love their shadow as well, not just their light, but their shadow. And again, we're not having this conversation based on some kind of corrective thing that's going on in ICN. I think it's just a conversation that's worth exploring.
Well, a shadow is present anywhere in any community. So
100%.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll get there. We have sections on that too. That'll be a topic totally. For another podcast episode.
And I can't tell you how many times in clergy work, I heard, well, the Lord is just calling me to another community. And I kept thinking, man, your God, it must be schizophrenic, because you have jumped from community to community, every 2 or 3 years. I'm being a little facetious there, but this faithfulness to work your shit out with other people, and to work their shit out with you, and to work out the space between. I know we don't use that language often, but like this willingness.
We're going to get an explicit content on our podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder. But to really just to say that there's a commitment to say that we recognize deep calls unto deep. Well, deep involves things you can and cannot see, that there's something there. There's a Thomas Merton quote that I'd like to offer here that I think might be a good way for us to wrap up this part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I love this quote. This is out of his book, New Seeds of Contemplation. As soon as God gets you in one monastery, you want to be in another. As soon as you taste one way of prayer, you want to try another. You are always making resolutions and breaking them by counter-resolutions. You ask your confessor and do not remember the answers. Before you finish one book, you begin another, And with every book you read, you change the whole plan of your interior life. Soon you will have no interior life at all. Your whole existence will be a patchwork of confused desires and daydreams and velleities, is a great word, in which you do nothing except defeat the work of grace. For all this is an elaborate subconscious device of one's nature to resist God, whose work in your soul demands the sacrifice of all that you desire and delight in, and indeed, of all that you are. So, keep still, and I would say in this context, keep connected, and let God do some work. Yeah. I think obviously he's speaking to monastics, and he's speaking with a kind of patriarchal language that we're not accustomed to, perhaps in the environments that we now occupy, but there's something to be said in there, that there's this desire to replace connection with content. And what we're trying to talk about here is that the content of relationship is very mysterious and very layered, and that the more awareness, the more practices that we have in those levels of connection, content becomes important, but it also becomes situated. Final thoughts awesome. On that?
Absolutely. That's great. That's a great way to wrap up too, because that's, that's so true. We have to stay. Part of the practice is remaining. And that's really difficult in our culture, where we want to, we have the freedom, right? Basically to move to another community or to something else or to the next thing. Again, we have this plethora of information and possibility, but there is something to the practice of community that definitely relates to that mutuality, and definitely relates to that deep meeting deep of divine reality, right? Where there be dragons here,
yes.
So to speak, right? There are things here that are going to make us uncomfortable, that are going to be difficult, that are going to be more than what our egoic self or what our shallower self might just want to avoid or run away from or go beyond, right? And we're going to explore some of those. That'll tie into the next part of this conversation we'll have, will be around cultivating that capacity for connectedness, which involves trust and which involves so many elements, right, of how we enter in a way that will stick with and stay with. And not always, right? Commitment's a dirty word in our culture. We struggle with that, maybe for some more than others, but we'll talk more about that, and as well that we need to not just talk about this like I started with, but we need to practice it. We need to engage with it. So again, I'll extend the invitation to enter into community, whether that be with ICN and WeSpace groups or otherwise, in another setting. But then as well, to engage in some practices of community. So in this series that I wrote, every article has a practice at the end. And so I just want to bring a reflection question, maybe two of them, into this conversation as we close it, to carry forward, to bring into how we might start practicing community more in our lives. So the questions are, how do you practice community in your life? What intentional acts and practices do you engage in already? And are there more that you'd like to incorporate? And maybe with that, compare a spiritual practice that you do alone with a time that you do it with others. And is that qualitatively different for you? Why do you think it is or isn't? So those are just some little questions, maybe to spark a sense of reflection on your own experience in community, and start to open up to the invitation to how we might practice community more in our lives.